Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. If I had a nickel for the number of times I've heard people say or write, "Oh, I don't go to church because of all those hypocrites," today, Jesus turns that notion on its head and reminds us we all should go to church because we are the hypocrites. We know it and we acknowledge it and we try to amend our ways each and every week when we start again. I think we should start to tell people when they say those things, "Oh, I go to church," because we are all hypocrites. And church helps me to get back on the right path every week and lose some of my hypocrisy and learn to love all over again. And so it's with great joy that we move from that cryptic Gospel of John we've been visiting, lo, these many weeks, to the slightly more understandable Gospel of Mark. But today's message is a painful one for the rule followers of the world, the hypocrites of the world, as Jesus says. Jesus gives us the marvelous example in today's gospel lesson. The Pharisees, who were the spiritual leaders at the time, were there with this man, Jesus. And they wanted to understand him and learn about this man who was gathering many, many people, many followers. They were watching the people he hung out with and Jesus' interaction with those people. And the Pharisees thought that they found a problem with this man, Jesus. He was eating with people who had dirty hands. Now, if you recall the book of Leviticus in the Old Testament, there are laws about just about everything. One writer compiled more than 76 of these rules and the penalty for breaking those laws. Among those laws, turning to mediums or spiritualists, not standing in the presence of the elderly, mistreating foreigners, and the one that I found most interesting because its penalty is death, cursing your father or mother, a penalty of death. And among my favorites, if any of your fellow Israelites become poor and are unable to support themselves among you, help them as you would a foreigner and stranger, so they can continue to live among you. Do not take interest or any profit from them, but fear your God so that they may continue to live among you. You must not lend them money at interest or sell them food at profit. That's really bad for our banks and our grocery stores, but I think we're all right. Christ was trying to remind all of us that he came into this world to bring us into a new relationship, a new covenant. He saw how his laws were perverted and used to exclude people and prevent people from loving one another. And he did the only thing he thought would get our attention. He sacrificed his only son to get our attention and our hearts. Jesus says there's nothing outside or going in a person that can defile, only the things that come out of our bodies. How do we keep from being hypocrites ourselves? What do we do to remain pure in our religion and our belief? The epistle reading helps us and reminds us to care for the orphans and the widows in their distress and to keep unstained by the world. I love to watch the little children as they teach us so much about how we're to act towards one another. I'm talking about really little children, even babies. You all know that my niece Megan had a baby Lila, this year, and I've had the pleasure of watching her grow from that blob that comes home from the hospital without the ability to focus or interact with her environment to the now nearly nine-month-old baby who's smiling and cooing and making all sorts of strange sounds as she interacts with her world. She is pure goodness. She doesn't have any evil in her heart, as she has not learned evil. Think about the purity of our little ones, and is it any wonder that Jesus calls us to love the little children? Jesus knows that they don't have the evil intentions of adults. We're not born with any of the listed evils that we heard in today's gospel, from fornication to theft, murder to envy, slander, and the one we'll ponder today, pride, and finally, folly, a lack of good sense or normal prudence. And I skipped all those others, adultery, avarice, the insatiable desire for wealth or gain, or wickedness or deceit or licentiousness, which is a total disregard for legal or moral restraints. And we can usually see the biggies, like murder and theft. And we can usually understand deceit and envy. So how are we hypocrites? What about pride and folly? As parents, we are always telling our kids we are so proud of them. We're always proud of our classes as teachers when they do well when we teach them. This very week, I'm so glad he's here, I was so filled with pride for our own newsletter editor, Aubrey. He was a high school freshman, that I sent the September newsletter to the bishop and to the director of communication of the diocese. Was I sinning? I like to think not. So what is Jesus telling us here in this instance? It's pride of self. Jesus is reminding us of the blindness we will come under if we become prideful in our own boasting and self-importance. We're to be proud of others, but not by puffing up ourselves. It's different to be proud of our kids than it is to be proud of ourselves for being such great parents to raise these great kids. So pride must be in others, not self. Pride in church, pride in others, pride that doesn't build up self, but rather shows a love for others. And what about folly? This is sometimes translated to mean a lack of good sense or normal prudence and foresight. Boy, that sure doesn't sound like the same league as murder and slander, but it's right there in Jesus' list. Our culture tells us over and over to get in touch with our inner selves, to go with the flow, and it celebrates freedom and personal choice and fiercely resists any constraint that Christ or common sense would place on behavior. So perhaps this emphasis on common sense and prudence has some teeth after all. How do we engage in folly? How do we fail to use good sense and foresight? I can tell you, this one comes to me every time I enter a store selling beautiful new cowboy boots. I'm in love with cowboy boots. The crazier, the better. But for me to spend more than $500 for a pair of boots when the price of a barrel of oil is $39 is not prudent, as my personal income is dependent on the cost of oil, and therefore my current income is rather low, with oil being at nearly record lows. It is folly to buy cowboy boots right now. So how do you engage in folly? Do you sometimes jump in the car after maybe you've had a little bit too much to drink? That's folly. Do you sometimes buy things on the credit card knowing you can't pay the bill when it comes? That's folly. Do you ever just lose your common sense and run that piece of farm equipment without servicing it properly? Or shoot that gun without cleaning it properly and regularly? That's folly. The amazing thing about being Christians is we get to wake up every Sunday morning and stumble into these pews and think about our little bumps in the road, about our folly of the week, and tell our God we blew it this week and ask for forgiveness. And you know what? God forgives each and every one of us. God forgives us our sins and allows us to be just a little bit more like that baby Lila all over, fresh and new and ready to sin no more. And you note, we pause a few moments before beginning our general confession to think about the times we sin during the week. We silently ask God to forgive and let us move forward. And after we say our confession, I'm privileged to do one of the three things only a priest can do, grant absolution. I stand as a representative of our Savior, and I forgive you of your sins on behalf of God. That privilege is one I treasure and hold dear. And the next time someone says they don't go to church because of all the hypocrites, you tell them, you go to church because of all the hypocrites. You go to church to begin a new week fresh and childlike in your faith, and knowing that you have been forgiven all that is past, and vowing to live a new life full of love for your fellow man. Church is the way to go. Amen.